call the Board of Supervisors to session. Supervisor Hout, would you please lead us in the room?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I believe Chaplain Hout?
Yes.
Sir, if you would start us off with the right foot.
Yes. Good morning. I'm barely here. It's always further from Shastina than I think. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the relatively peaceful county and the security we enjoy. We thank you for the prosperity. We pray for our industries and ask that you bless our ranchers, our lumbermen, our hospitals, schools, college, and every source of employment. We are thankful that we are part of a participatory democracy that is rooted in biblical ideas. We pray for the people in Ukraine, for Volodymyr Zelensky, their soldiers, and their fight for freedom. May we be willing to fight and continue our commitment to be the land of the free and the home of the brave. May the churches of our county flourish so that people might live for your glory and know the importance of doing what is right and avoiding what is wrong. God of creation and Lord of nations, we ask that you continue to bless our Sheriff Jeremiah LaRue, local police departments, and courts as they execute justice well, that they give wisdom, they're given wisdom in the task. God and Lord of all, remind our county supervisors of their duty to honor and protect those living decently and productively, and to punish those who do wrong. I pray that this body would govern with wisdom for the common good or the welfare of the county, not for personal gain and under the pressure of lobby groups or for the advantage of a favored few. Give to each supervisor concern for the well-being of all. The issues before this body are not usually black and white, cut and dry. They will often involve compromise. Give wisdom and let your holy Bible inform their thinking so that best policies take shape. I pray for our sheriff, for Cal Fire, for local police departments and fire departments, that they receive ample financial resources to perform their duties and to protect our citizens in the face of fire or crisis of every kind. Give these supervisors wisdom to lay a foundation for future generations. God, I pray for open minds and listening ears, that our leaders would be open to wise counsel from religious leaders among others, especially as they face issues requiring understanding of religious perspectives, something few are equipped to do as we face the war on drugs, issues of life, drought, government mandates, policies of our state, immigration questions, or freedom of conscience and worship issues. God, you can use crooked sticks to hit straight. That's why you can use us. You can accomplish your purpose through politicians of every political party, regardless of their willingness to be used by you. Proverbs 21:1 tells us that the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. God, we are aware that our often political forces stand against you, your people, and what is good and right. As the psalmist wrote, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear off their fetters and cast away their ropes from us. He who sits in heaven laughs. The Lord ridicules them. Certainly the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as small dust of the balance. He takes up the coastlands as a very little thing, and all nations before him are as nothing. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and meaningless. Yet as he who sits upon the circle of the earth and inhabits are as grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreads them out as a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely shall they be planted, scarcely shall they be sown, scarcely shall their tree take root in the earth. He will also blow on them, and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away as stubble. God, we rest in your sovereign power over our country, over this great state of California, our local government. I pray that we will remember what the ancient prophet wrote: the Most High rules the kingdoms of men and gives it to those whom he will, and sets over it the lowliest of men. I pray this in the name of your Son. Amen. Thank you for the privilege of being here to pray for you this morning.
Thank you, Chaplain Hell, for a thoughtful upper prayer. Ms. Wendy, we'll do a roll call.
Yep, and I do need to make my announcement that the board will be convening today as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District and receives no additional compensation. Supervisor Hell?
Present.
Supervisor Kobzeff?
Here.
Supervisor Chris?
Here.
Supervisor Ogren?
Present.
Excuse me, and Supervisor Valenzuela?
Here.
Thank you.
And with that, for the agenda, do we have any additions or subtractions?
We do, yes. After the posting the agenda on March 30, 2022, for the Board of Supervisors meeting April 5, 2022, which is today, the County Administrator was advised that there were developments with respect to two labor negotiations regarding which the Board needed to give direction prior to the next Board meeting, which is scheduled for April 19, 2022. For that reason, pursuant to Governing Code Section 54954.2B2, it is asked that these two labor negotiations be added to the agenda to be discussed in closed session.
Second. Roll call vote.
Supervisor Hell?
Aye.
Supervisor Kobzeff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Thank you.
We have time for presentations from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You will be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. The chair can extend the time to 5 minutes for appropriate circumstances. Written comments can be presented if so desired by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments should be limited to matters within jurisdiction of the board. So I see 2 public comments in-house. Ms. Tracy Lima.
Thank you. Good morning, board. I'm Tracy Lima. I'm the clinical director of behavioral health. And I wanted to come before you today to recognize one of my employees. I'd love to stand here and recognize every single one of my employees because I think they're all amazing. But we had one employee who was nominated for an acknowledgement through the Rural Community Builder group out of, Roseville, Oregon, I think, or Roseburg. This employee has worked for behavioral health consistently over the last 8 years. He had a break from us, as I did at one point. He is a case manager for us and also does crisis work for us for our chronically, persistently mentally ill. He was recognized by one of his colleagues as, in one word, he's described as kind. The colleague of my employee has described this person goes above and beyond to make people feel heard and appreciated. This person advocates for the mentally ill and the homeless in his community. This person never asks for anything in return and humbly without fail. recognizes each individual as a special person. This person has a heart of gold and will give you the last that he has to see you smile. This person shows up each day making a difference in the lives of others. This person does so much on his own time and of the goodness of his heart, although his employer does suggest to him not to work outside of his work hours. This person's name is, and I'd like to introduce you to Rico Gutierrez. And I just want to say thank you, Rico, for all of your hard work and your tireless effort in working with our mentally ill in our community. And I just wanted to publicly acknowledge you in front of our Board of Supervisors and the community that's listening. So thank you very much.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you.
You could have him show up every Tuesday, put the smile on our faces.
Rico's favorite statement, every time I say good morning, how are you doing? He says, what is it that you say? Living the dream.
Thank you.
I don't think we say it the same way that you do.
That was a nice public comment. And kind is a perfect word. Next public comment is Ms. Holly Hanser.
Thank you. I'm going to try to record this. Is that okay that I record this for myself?
Yeah,
well, I'm not good. This phone isn't active because I have to wait till I can pay another $35 and got ID. So I don't know if I got heard back from the county clerk, a very simple question, or from my supervisor. And I don't think I asked you know, who prints our ballots? I don't know if Wendy knows. But I'm guessing it could be run back. I do not know. So I'll check with the clerk's office afterwards and see if I can get an answer in person, because it's been 2 weeks, I think. And it seems like it would be a simple answer, like you wouldn't have to do the whole time frame anyway. So my father's last words to me were, God's something like written words on the computer screen, was God said human kind, and he underlined kind 3 times. So kindness. You guys are hearing me, but you're not allowed to take action or do anything or talk to me or do anything here. And each and every one of you, including you, dear Ed.
Supervisor Fallon's waiting for me.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, but my friend Tim Thompson was to school with your son, his son, Josh Thompson, so there's a personal aspect of it. So I hear you, or Ed, in his relationship. But yes, sir. Venezuela. So anyway, thank you. So, I have been following, as you know, Jovan Hutton Pulitzer on Cut the Crap, Culture, Race, American Politics, and we are finding all sorts of things with our elections that our county clerk cannot just easily see with these little things where you just look at it on the surface. And if we are using the same type of election services that Maricopa County, Arizona has, there is a lot of stuff that we honestly need to be real concerned about this county. So I appeal to you, please contact Jovan Hutton Pulitzer or set up a time. He will show up for us on the agenda or in private where we can talk with the clerk and you guys so we can get instructed on exactly what we should be looking at in this county for election. Now, I was invited to join this election integrity project with, you know, Barbara Rodriguez. However, I had to sign a contract that said that I couldn't open my mouth for 7 years. Oh, that's the way I read it, about anything that we discover. So you have to be part of the club and you have to agree, all this stuff. And that's all well and good. People might want to keep quiet on certain things for 7 years and let the company does it. And I think it's a wonderful organization. My mom was early in on it, but I'm just an independent person. As I told this gentleman coming in, he goes, well, who are you? I said, I'm nobody. And I go, well, I'm somebody, but I'm nobody. So each one of us individually is one person. And I'm just one person right now. And I'm certainly not perfect, but we're trying to get, Rhino, Republican in name only, okay? And, so we're hoping that Attorney General Brnovich will do something about the criminal activity that is unmistakable there. So please contact me individually. I'll email you all. You can get me individually. It doesn't have to be just Michael Kossoff. And or contact Jovan Hutton Pulitzer, or let's just set up a meeting. I'll be there, and then he'll be there, Zoom or whatever. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Hanser. And then, Ms. Anna, do we have any online?
I do not believe we have anyone online. If any of the callers calling in on your cell phone, if one of you had your hand up, could you raise it again, please?
All right.
Okay, we have one online? Caller ending in 2131, it's your turn to speak.
Yes, this is Ann Marsh. On the consent agenda, which I don't know if they asked the public comment, but item 5F is supposed to be informational to the public and should not be included on the consent agenda. It's about the Scott River water. And
Chair.
That's all I have to say. If I'm inappropriate, I will raise my hand during the
Thank you, Ms. Marsh. I believe County Council has an answer to that.
I believe the intention is to pull that, and so the wishes of the of Ms. Marsh are going to be met. That will be pulled from the calendar, I believe. That will be the motion made or a request made, and so that's my anticipation.
All right. Thank you. Any other online?
Showing them online.
All right. Wishes of my colleagues on the consent agenda?
I would like to pull 5A.
For clarification, is so is council pulling that item, or are you looking to the board to do that?
Either way, it doesn't make any difference. I think the only board member pulls it, but I'm happy to do so if you prefer.
I would prefer you. I didn't put it on here.
So okay. I would request that the board pull item 5F.
We'll pull 5F. Okay. And the wishes of my colleagues for the rest of the consent agenda.
Move to approve.
I'll second that.
Okay. All right, Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
Supervisor Topsep.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Thank you.
We'll pull item 5A. Supervisor Topsep.
We see you there's a change, I think, is what we're headed for.
Yes, Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator. And this item was for the board to contribute $1,000 to for a full page ad in the Wall Street Journal. And the ad flew on April 2nd, so I was asked to display the ad that flew in the Wall Street Journal, focusing on Western water issues and food scarcity. And there is a website that can be visited through this QR code. I can send that out. And so Supervisor Kovsev had asked that I just display the full page ad that was in the Wall Street Journal on April 2nd. And there will be a second ad, I believe, later this month. The only other thing is I did receive clarification from Dan Keppen at Family Farm Alliance that the check should be made out to Family Water Farm Coalition. So that would be the only change. But just wanted to display the ad that focuses specifically on Western water issues, including Siskiyou County.
Thank you.
And who was the check to be made out to?
Family Water Farm Coalition.
Farm Coalition, thank you.
Supervisor,
just a quick question. I've been looking at the material that was in the packet, so there would be links to other pages associated with this. Is there going to be a link to issues specific to Siskiyou County?
Yes, there is through that QR code, and I will send that out to the board after I sit down. So the website was not available until this ad flew on Saturday. So yes, but specific to Siskiyou County, Tule Lake, and Shasta and Scott watershed issues.
And if you'd copy me on that as well.
Will do.
Okay.
Treasurer Thompson.
Move to approve with the amendment.
I'll second that.
Okay. Supervisor Hill?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
No.
And let's see, Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Thank you.
Item F, County Council?
We'll have staff come over later and present information on that, and that can be heard at any time.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Greener. Mr. Shinerly, Office of Emergency Services Resolution proclaiming the existence of local emergency drought. Item 6A for those following online.
Good morning, Board of Supervisors. Again, Brian Shinerly, Director of OES here in Siskiyou County. I'm just bringing before you the resolution for the drought with the wording changed from the previous meeting, and then additionally bringing it to a 60-day resolution, so you don't have to see me every board meeting.
Thank you.
Above is just the drought monitor outlook from the 29th. We did have a little bit of rain yesterday, well, a tenth of an inch measurable. So clearly that's not going to change much.
Three tenths.
And if you could email me that chart as well, so I can put it in the file.
There's a motion to approve.
Second.
A second. Roll call vote.
Okay. Supervisor Howell?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Absolutely.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
And did you want to bring up maybe 8? The other drought resolution is 8A?
Yes, we have. Yes, we'll do that. For those online, we're going to move down to 8A. Resolution 2222, the previous one we had done. Go ahead.
And that is for the, is that for the
one we've been hearing over 30 days.
So this one will be taking over that one.
All right.
So
terminate, yes. That's what we're in.
Yes, supervisor Howell.
When would we anticipate seeing some of the things like tent smoke and those kinds of things?
For the extent,
that's the catastrophic wildfire.
Yes, sir.
But they are linked.
Yes, and that will, that one's coming.
Okay.
Probably.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I misspoke.
So wishes to the board on terminating this one.
Move to approve.
Second.
Any other questions, Supervisor?
No.
Okay. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Shinerly, thank you. Mr. Dean, item 6B. Community development, the Scott Valley watershed, further study for the ordinance on codified for wells and whatnot.
Okay. Good morning, Board of Supervisors, and Chair Chris Rickteen, Community Development Director. Before I get into that item, I'll address the consent item F. That was pulled from the agenda.
All right.
Essentially, it's an update regarding the public crest doctrine outside of the Scott Valley Basin. So, as you know, the primary focus with the public crest doctrine at this point has been in the Scott Valley Basin. However, I just want to inform you that on March 22nd, staff met the council, environmental health, and also the flood district to discuss public crest issues, primarily Shasta Valley, but also countywide. Essentially, looking at ways that we could acquire hydrogeologic data in better fashion. As you know, Scott Valley has a pretty good model situation there. And it's lacking elsewhere. So looking at means to try to develop that better. Also, funding is a big issue with this, right? Because essentially we're going to be having to do a lot of review of potential well permit applications and so forth, and how that gets funded through Natural Resources Department. That was a large concern that was discussed as well. So that pretty much covers that. As you know, it's problematic. You know, Sky Valley is it's an alluvial deposition, much more simple. Shasta Valley is more complicated. It's all volcanic. highly fractured. So the interconnectability between the Shasta River and the Sky River in comparison is two different models completely. So we're working to achieve public trust considerations outside of the Sky Valley also.
Well, thank you. And just for the record, we've covered item 5F, which was the one that Ms. Marsha had talked about.
Through the chair.
Supervisor Cobbsett.
So, Mr. Dean, as we begin to look at that, and as you pointed out that the Shasta is more fractured, but overall, the curtailments that have happened in the Scott and Shasta systems, how do we account for, and I guess this is, as we look at this, the curtailments during the winter have deprived groundwater recharge. And how are we going to account for that when it looks as though it's created a more desperate situation and added, it actually compounded the problem? How are we going to account for that?
Well, it's a very good question, and it's probably one that's above my ability to answer. Quite frankly, how to account for that? Obviously hydrogeologic concern, leaky ditches primarily is the concern there, right? We're cutting off the ditches.
That and
that can impact to aquifer recharge. The impact of that, I don't have an idea on how to quantify that.
I don't expect an answer. I'm just saying somehow we're going to have to account for that, because as drought conditions even worsen the situation, how do I say, regulatory pursuits have can exasperate it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Perfect. Okay.
Sorry, I don't have a better answer for you.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Well, you know, I think this should be a countywide look at, because I think, you know, one of the things that I don't want to see us do is start siloing District 5, District 1, District 2. I think we've got to look at it. We're all in this together. I'm going to use the example. Friday, I met with Joy Hall down at Lake Siskiyou, just trying to get a 5 CFS variance for Lake Siskiyou. We're talking surface well, all those things. You know, one of the things, and we're talking bureaucracy here that we have to deal with. If you think, to me, it's straightforward. You know, we have to quantify. We have to get more data. We have to do some things on our end so we can have the data to push back and, you know, try to articulate why we see it a different way, if you will. So I'm glad that we're looking at it from the countywide. I think we should look at that always from a countywide instead of saying, because I hear it all the time, Scott Valley. What about South County? South County is just as much affected by what goes on from regulations as any other district. You know, a little different, a little nuanced maybe, but still the same thing. We're still, I think, Supervisor Cobbs, if you know Frank Delgado, he calls me, hey, all my surface water was cut off. What about all that recharge? You know, yeah. So it's the same thing. So, you know, I think moving forward, we should always look at it from a county perspective.
Thank you, Chair. And I would agree. I mean, it is countywide, but I just used the curtailment.
No, but
that's part of it, you know, and that is that groundwater recharge from normal water flow during the winter. I mean, it's going to be a problem if we don't get it in the ground.
So along those lines, something to point out with the recent governor's order actually puts on a higher list to develop recharging basins.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
You know, so yeah.
Let's see how that goes.
Yeah.
So let's put the money, instead of spending money on lawyers, let's put it into a project and do it.
Yeah.
There's your answer why we don't need a curtailment. We're doing a recharge automatically. So anyways, moving forward. Thank you. Thank you.
Through the chair.
The supervisor, first.
Yeah.
Sorry, Lord, go ahead.
Well, just a quick comment in relation to those two. I think instead of talking about districts, we need to look at it in a geologic and hydrologic pattern. This county is so big, and we have to look at it in a broader perspective instead of breaking it up into districts, and looking at it in a more scientific and project-oriented manner, and just try to figure out how all these areas have such a diverse um, everything is so diverse in this county that we have to look at it that way and try to figure out how to make all these different areas thrive. And it's so difficult because it is Scott Valley versus Shasta Valley versus Butte Valley. They're all different. And we have to figure out how to make all these different areas work. And there is going to be a different model and a different scenario for each one. And underneath Mount Shasta, it's different. So that's our problem. That's what we have to figure out. And it doesn't matter who owns what area. It's a matter of trying to figure out those differences. And that's what our challenge is.
Supervisor Al?
Sure. I'd be happy to transfer our legal challenges to South County.
Yeah.
I would.
With regard to the ordinance itself, how long will it last and when will we revisit this?
So you're talking about the governor's order or our ordinance?
Our ordinance.
So as it's proposed in a draft, it would last for 2 years.
Okay. And are we prepared to talk about the ordinance right now?
I believe so.
To save that for later.
Okay, we have some public comment. Okay.
No, 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 no. I can really go there. The reason I ask that is one of the things that drives me nuts, I don't have a lot of questions today, Rick. I'm going to support this ordinance. I don't have a lot of questions for you, but I have a lot of questions around the process. And one thing that drives me insane is science is so. Anyone that says that is ignorant of science. Science is never settled. And today we're about to put some regulation in place on a bunch of unknown assumptions. Okay? As a result of litigation, which covered up. Some of those unknown assumptions are what I've heard for 20 years and yet is unproven is Scott Valley's a closed system. We don't know that. We assume that through some modeling that's been done, some studies that have been done, but there's never been one key study that's definitely concluded through a geologic survey under the surface, geologic survey, whether there are tapped aquifers that are not connected to the river. It's just assumed that all wells are connected to the river. And the reason I bring that up is because I was fortunate enough to attend a hearing on Friday where the state was asserting that they could regulate all groundwater. And the judge in that case asked one question: can you prove it? And so because of litigation, we're heading down that same path. And that is my fear going forward. What that means in the future, I don't know. You know, but it's an unknown. Looking at Scott Valley, there's been intense scrutiny of the valley for my 25 years living there and being part of this both from a professional standpoint and as a supervisor and as an educational person working in the county. And yet, the focus is on 10% of the watershed. That 10% of the watershed produces no water. It's a consumer of water. Over the years, we know from other studies that the other 80% or 90% of the watershed has four times the vegetation density that it did prior to a wet period that occurred in 1935 to about 1965. Given that, the transpiration rates, we have a figure that was used by our researchers to possibly look at transpiration rate of all the vegetation. But that's an approximation, an unverified approximation, because it doesn't take into account the density of different age classes that have changed over the years, nor does it take into account the species composition differences. With that said, it also doesn't take in the aspects of the scientific aspects of interception of the canopy and how that affects the hydrologic balance as well. A lot of unknowns. We point to a period of time when there were abundant fish and abundant water in Scott Valley and point to irrigation as the sole reason for the disappearance of that. Why do we do that? Well, we do that because there's very few of us over 100 years old living in Scott Valley anymore who can point to the period before that that was a drought and what those conditions are. Those conditions that we're experiencing today have existed before. Pre-1915, you can see easily from the fire history in the area that we were experiencing the same drought conditions. You can also point to the fact, anecdotally anyway, that there was a need for water storage because there were more than two dozen mountain lakes that were developed for water storage to get through that dry period prior to 1935. And then when 1965 rolled around, it wasn't needed anymore and they fell into disrepair. So there's a lot of things in this that are unknowns. And I'm just saying that we're taking a path because of litigation that may not solve any issue. Drought's not new. Water storage has gotten us through it, and it'll get us through if we choose to go that route again. I fear, and I hope actually, that along the line we try to curtail a well development that's in the adjudication. Because we'll experience the same thing that the state is experiencing. We're asking the well permit owner to prove a negative. And they can't through sequence. But we should be looking at, that person should be challenging us to prove that we are making a difference. And that's where I'm going to leave it today.
Any comments from home? We have comments online. I see a Mr. Nat King hand raised.
My name is Nathaniel Kane. Can you hear me in the boardroom?
We can.
Great. My name is Nat Kane. I'm the executive director of Environmental Law Foundation.
Hold on here a second. Can my colleagues hear? We might have to mess the volume up on our side a little bit. Don't worry, we won't cut into your time. All right, we'll try that. Mr. Kane.
Okay, my name is Nat Kane, Executive Director of the Environmental Law Foundation. I just want to thank the board for the opportunity to comment this morning on this ordinance. I think it's really exciting that the county is moving forward on taking concrete steps to comply with its public trust responsibilities on the Scott. I'm really glad that the county is now considering taking steps on rivers other than the Scott, including the Shasta, as was discussed earlier, and I hope that we can weigh in on that more as that process continues. I had a chance to review the draft ordinance, and I sent a letter to the board last night, but I'll just briefly recap some takeaways from that letter. Again, I think that this draft ordinance comes from a really good place. I think it does a lot. But I have concerns around some of the exceptions in the ordinance. Number one, I have a concern around the exception for deepening existing wells. If a well is going dry, it needs to be deepening, and it's in interconnected groundwater, then I have real concerns that that deepening is going to have just as much effect on river flows as a new well would. Secondly, I have more of a technical concern around the replacement well provision. I don't have a problem with it in concept. I just would like to make sure that a replacement well has no greater capacity than the well or wells it's replacing. And then the last thing I want to mention is the exception for wells that don't impact the Scott. That's in paragraph 4A4. Again, I don't have a problem with this concept, but I would like to see some objective standards for being able to tell which wells those are, because I think that this leaves a lot of discretion to the county to say which well does or doesn't affect flows. And that discretion gets to my last point, which is that, again, I think that this ordinance, without these exceptions, would be a really great step for the county to take in compliance with the public trust obligations. But with this many exceptions and this much discretion, it makes me worry about the county's CEQA obligations. And I am worried that an ordinance like this, with so much discretion and so many exceptions, would require CEQA review in order to tell the county to answer some of these questions about which wells are affecting flows, some of the concerns that supervisors raised just a minute ago. And I can't support it the way it is written right now with these exceptions, but I do hope that the county will take this letter and these comments into account, make some changes, and come up with an ordinance that is actually protective of the public trust, and it would be more legally sound. Thank you very much.
Mr. King, thank you. Mr. Kiernan?
Yeah, just for the record, it sounds like we've segued from 5F into item 6B, which makes sense. I mean, they're very
My question, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why we, when Supervisor Hopps started talking, we were, you know,
I just want to make it 6B, for the record, so that if anybody wants to make a public comment on 6B, they know now is the time to do so. And then also, I noticed that Mr. Kane, who just spoke, did submit comments regarding item 6B.
I have
that. That was yesterday, though, right?
It was last night.
Yeah.
Last
night. Yeah. Okay.
Late.
Late. Yes.
After I left the office, so I got it today.
I see one other public comment.
Caller ending in 2131. It's your turn to speak.
Yes, this is Ann Marsh, 4628 Pine Cove Drive, Atma, California. I'm looking at this agenda item, and I'm questioning why it's not under public hearing, since it is producing an ordinance, even though the ordinance will be uncodified. Perhaps there could be some clarification about that. Thank you.
Mr. Kiernan, I'll put you on the spot.
Sure. Not all ordinances need to be on public hearing. Off the top of my head, I don't know if this one does. If it does, we can do that on second reading, but we don't have to have both of them on public hearing.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, we've done that in the past where we have this and then the second reading, public hearing.
And I don't know that it's required. I haven't
required this one. All right.
But if it is, we will do it.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Ms. Marsh.
Just to clarify, this is the first reading of the ordinance. There will be a public hearing for the second reading. Okay.
To clarify, this is Natalie Reed, Assistant County Counsel. This is the first reading of the ordinance, and there will be a second reading during which there will be a public hearing.
Thank you. That answers the questions there. Any other public comment?
Should we know more on that?
Is there any further comments from board members or wishes of one board?
Well, I would just say this, you know, this isn't, you know, we pass something, this isn't, it's not the end of the world. We keep revisiting things. I think there's always going to be more data that we need to get or whatever. You know, as much as I appreciate the public comment, you know, the last thing I want to do is send this back because we'll get hammered for not doing it soon enough, right? So let's move forward, and again, this we'll revisit this somewhere down the line within 2 years, I'm sure.
And I guess my reply would be that a lot of the public comment is centered around us trying to prove a negative again. And, you know, that's a difficult, impossible task to be under because there are a lot of unknowns in the system. A lot of things that are going to come to clarity, I think, in the next few years because of studies that are being done right now.
I think the intent is we're trying to move forward with this, as Supervisor Valenzuela said, and indeed Supervisor Haupt is indicating, is it going to be perfect for everybody on the outside? Probably not. And we're in this spot because of legality in the past, and I'm sure we'll be in another spot for legality in the future, but it drains the county coffers of the desired money it takes to actually do something. But, you know, it just, it's frustrating as all get out that, you know, you're not going to accommodate every person's wish of what they'd like to see. This is something that's just moving forward, that's trying to address the issue, period.
Ms. Wendy?
Did Mr. Dean have an opportunity to really do an overview? That were there changes? We had changes from the last time it was a first reading, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Just to discuss those briefly, Supervisor Howe, first of all, completely understand there are many unknowns. This is never going to be close to perfect. The model that's in place is extremely conservative, but that's what we have to work with. A couple changes that were made under Section 4, the term repair, well repairs, was taken out because we do not issue permits for well repairs. Also, on Section 4, Number 3, it was simplified to basically include any groundwater right, adjudicated right, valley-wide, instead of being specific to the Scott Valley adjudication and French Creek. So those were the two primary changes that were made. With regards to what was said from health and so forth, I just want to reiterate that this moratorium is for the application, the permit to drill the well. Okay, so we receive within our exemptions an application for a well to be deepened. It's still going to go through the process with natural resources and whatever the potential modeling is that we do to make a determination whether or not that well would be given the opportunity to have a permit or not. So it's easy to interpret it by reading this as that we're exempting wells, except for deepenings, right? It's still going to go through the process for approval. And as far as the replacements, we need to have some leeway there, I think, right? Typically, you're going to replace the well, you know, you're going to replace it with the same size, basically. In adjudication zone, though, however, the adjudications are specific to the property size, to the acreage. It's not to the well itself. So the extraction is to support 200 acres that are adjudicated to be irrigated. It's not how much is going to be extracted. So in that case, it may be okay to have a large diameter well, because it's adjudication is to support the ground there, irrigation-wise. It's not set to a production amount. Anyway, I just want to make those two clarifications for that. The other concern that was brought up is whether or not this process should be under CEQA. And we have it right now. We have it exempt from the CEQA process in terms of being an actual project subject to CEQA. It is a matter of interpretation. Our interpretation is that it's not. Else interpretation that it should be. So I'll leave that to you for consideration.
One last thing, you know, just for the record, all of this water flow business is fish centric, and these systems are producing fish. We don't get credit for it. This county doesn't get credit for it. And it's time that we start at, well, I guess, proclaiming that success of out-migrant salmon. Doesn't have to be in the ordinance.
Just success.
Yeah. Any further comments or wishes of my colleagues on item 6B?
Just officially, I just want to let you know that Mr. Kane did mention his correspondence, and I do have copies here for the board if you want to see them, although you were copied on it. And I do have it for the public if they'd like to see it. I don't know. I think Natalie got it. I don't know if Mr. Kearney got it. But just so for the record, we show that we did receive that correspondence.
All right. Thank you. Motion on the 6B.
Yeah, and for a public hearing date, we need to go to May 3rd at the earliest because I'll have to publish the public hearing notice.
All right, thank you. Yeah, I've mentioned a couple times the wishes of the board or comments.
No, I guess you're looking at me.
I'm looking at whoever wants to make the motion.
I'll begrudgingly move this forward.
All right.
And you're okay with the May 3rd date?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll join you in the begrudgingly, and I'll begrudgingly.
It's just a nasty way of doing business.
Okay. All righty. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Crist?
I'll be an aye.
Thank you.
I'm negotiating with the gentleman.